Welcome to Books on Air, the show that tells the story behind the book. I'm Suzanne Harris, and I'll talk to the author about their latest project. We'll tell you where you can find them on social media, and maybe, just maybe, we'll give you the opportunity to meet them. My guest today is Dennis Gray, and he's talking with me today about his latest gritty crime novel, Jericho's Walls. Dennis, welcome.
Oh, thank you, Suzanne.
It's my absolute pleasure, and you and I have been chatting. Sometimes I wish that our listeners could hear us before we actually turn on the microphone and start talking, because you and I have been chatting, and you are such an interesting guy. Tell us just a little bit about yourself.
Well, I started off as a creative person in terms of art, the arts. I was a sort of a child prodigy as an opera singer. I was a song artist, age 16, so I've always been involved in the arts. A recitalist for a good number of years and traveled over to Europe, but decided to kind of get away from that because it was too much travel and away from my family, so I turned into a banker. Through that, my father, who was a minister, all deceased, God bless him, he was a writer, a playwright, and I always showed that talent in school, in high school, but I couldn't do music and writing. And one day I was watching television and watching poets, and I said to myself, I can do that. And I started doing poetry. From poetry, everyone thought I was a really terrific poet, but I didn't, only because I couldn't really investigate myself, which poets have to do, and they have to offer opinions of who they are. And I didn't think that I was capable of doing that since I was a pretty private person. So before you knew it, I started doing short stories, writing short stories, and then I found out that I was a storyteller. And from short stories, I progressed to novels, and going between that, now I go between novels and plays. So that's hopefully a short summary of who I am as far as an artist goes.
What an interesting person you are. I knew that when you and I started talking. Let's tell our listeners a little bit about Jericho's Walls. Let's give them an overview. This is a really gritty sounding novel.
Yes, it was a germ of an idea, like most of the novels that come about for most writers. You know, it's just a germ, and it's amazing how it expands itself. But what I settled on was a principal who was very successful at 26 years of age, and then a tragedy came along that he had to give his soul practically to in order to resolve it. And it wound up that he wound up in prison as a result of it. So it sort of shows what can happen, the novel, to anyone and how that person deals with that situation. In this instance, his family has been disrupted, and his whole reputation, his whole look at his life has been sort of destroyed, and he has to regather all of that. And that's where we find him at the beginning of the story. Mm-hmm.
Well, of course, we want to know the story behind the book. What gave you the idea? Where did the idea for this come from? Because you've got a principal who's named, Jericho Walls is the principal. He kills Bootsy Taylor. I love these names that you used. Mm-hmm. Bootsy Taylor has a brother named Red Taylor, and these are really bad guys. Where did this idea come from? What did you see? Who inspired you?
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with how you look. I'm black, so, you know, an African-American, whatever you want to call me. And I want to look at some of the real problems within that particular community. So the stratification of people, and with Jericho being a principal and Bootsy Taylor and Red Taylor running a drug operation, how do those two coexist, excuse me, within a community? And the strife that it creates for everyone, if the two connect or come into contact, how does that work? And in this instance, it worked in a tragic way. But how did you resolve it? Is there any resolution to it? So that's what I was trying to examine. Because eventually what happens to Jericho is that he is paroled after 15 years of his after doing his crime. And because of good behavior, of course. And how does he resettle into that situation without coming into contact with it again? So that was sort of interested me. I don't even know if I got that far in my thinking with the piece. I just knew that as a writer, all I'm interested in is something that's exciting to my mind, because I create everything from the first word on. I don't know these people. I have no idea of who they are. I just have to give them names and listen to them. That's all I ever do. But I have to know the beginning and the ending of the story, and then everything in between, like most fiction writers, we don't know anything about it. So we have to create it. So that's all I was interested in. If I had a solid story, if I could get from the beginning to the end with confidence that I could, and then I was able to start the story and write it. And so that's my process. That's how I think.
You know, it struck me that this almost has a ripped from the daily headlines feel to it, the idea behind it. Do you see your characters in your head? Are you one of those authors who, when you start to write, you sit down at a computer or a typewriter or with a piece of paper, and a movie starts in your head? Or are you an author who outlines every detail and then goes back through and sort of connects the outline points? How do you work when you write?
That's interesting, Susan. I don't use an outline at all. I consider myself... This is how I consider myself. I don't know how other people think, but I have to think a certain way. I consider myself as a spiritual writer. And when I say spiritual, I'm after the spirit of something. And that's all. Same thing with my research. When I do research, I don't use much of the research, not unless it's for a factual reason or historical references and things like that. But I try to just deal with the spirit of the piece. So all I'm interested in is this spirit of the character, and the character, if I obey or listen to their spirit, I can create the character. I always feel that the character already exists. That's the way that I'm probably contrary to a lot of people, and the people that think that they're creating a character, fine, but I always feel as this, the character already exists, and they are telling me their story, and all I have to do is listen, and I can follow the track of their life, and that's the way I feel about writing. So these characters, they just fit into my freedom of accepting them for who they are, and then once I do my first draft, I examine them at that point to see if they're honest, and or whatever changes that I have to make, then the editor in me has to come into play. But up until that point, they have the freedom to create the story for me.
And they do that. I've spoken with enough authors to understand how this creative process works. I've also written fiction myself.
Oh, you have?
And
oh,
I have, yeah. Nothing that's really published. You've never heard of any of this. But since I've written fiction, I understand what that process is like. And when you start to talk about it to someone who is not a writer and who has not experienced the process, let's face it, we sound a little crazy as authors, don't we?
Yes.
Yeah, I know.
But yeah, as a singer, as an opera singer, classical singer, I didn't understand the creative process. I understood because I'm singing all War Horses and all this thing stuff. And so all I'm bringing a certain creativity to it, but the music is structured a certain way, and you don't have that much freedom in it to make your own kind of decisions about the music, because they've been sung a certain way for so long. So when I first heard someone say, I have all of, like Miles Davis, I have all of this music in my head, I said, he must be crazy. And then Schumann, he had made some comments about having all this music, and he hears this and he hears that and the bell, and this sounds like that, and that. I'm like, these people are crazy. Until you become a creative artist, you know? And until you become a creator, all of this stuff sounds really nutty.
I agree. I couldn't agree more.
So it's like I'm listening to other creative people during that time before I became, like I said, a creative artist, a real creative artist, making up things myself and hearing things that other people don't hear. It's just like Jericho Walls, the book. I thought I had the beginning and ending. I never changed my ending. Up to this time, I've written, you know, quite a few books. I've never changed that ending. I'm always going toward that ending. And with this book, Jericho Walls, I knew I had the ending. And I'm sitting there, but I'm saying, you know, the reader's going to look for a hero in this piece. I just felt that because I was looking for a hero. I said, they're looking right. for a hero. I said, who's the hero? And I couldn't find them. Suzanne, I couldn't find the hero. So one day I'm just sitting and watching television, and the subconscious mind had to be working, and all of a sudden Jericho comes to me and he says, this is how my story ends. I went, what?
Wow, I just got chills.
Yes, and then what happened was that he was absolutely right, because I went into the material, because I trusted him, but I didn't know what he was talking about. So I went into the material, and sometimes the answers are somewhere within that story, whatever you have developed within the story, the answer was in a certain scene. I said, there it is. Jericho's right. There's the answer to this. So I can change the ending to an ending where there is a hero in the piece. So it was amazing to me when I found that out. I was like, and it's the same thing with one of my first novels is called, you remember the book with all of the Naked Beast, and that's when I had first pretty much started. And I just set up a premise, and I said, "Oh, this will work, and this will work, and this will work." But I didn't have the foundation for the premise, and all of a sudden, I just picked a random event. I said, "Well, this character is doing such and such during this particular time," and because I looked at that particular ritual within this family, that was the thing that cemented the whole piece for me. And that was something that I just, out of random, chose an event. So that showed the randomness of writing and yet the power of something that you don't give any significance to at the time. It was amazing. Simply amazing.
Dennis, it's wonderful to hear the excitement and the enthusiasm that you have for the craft. And I love one thing you said that just really resonated with me so strongly was that you talked about the spirit of the character. I'm sure that we have absolutely titillated our listeners. They might have an opportunity to meet you. Your book is going to be a featured book at Books Expo America, and it's going to be in New York. Tell me a little bit about the expo.
Well, I'm kind of limited, but it's going to be open to the public. It's going to be on May 26th. And they're going to be a group of writers representing this publication, Lit Fire Publication. And we're going to all be there, the ones that were asked to come. And we're going to be there, and we'd be happy to meet some of our, if people have read my book or others, I'm sure that speaking for the other authors, would be glad, as most authors are glad to see their people who read their work or interested in their work. So that would be an ideal time to meet people who are interested in my work and or in other people's work, other really talented authors.
Is there a website for Book Expo America? Do you know?
There should be. I haven't gone into their website, Suzanne, but I'm sure there has to be. Or
that's
there
my
has
guess.
To be a lot of information on it, sure. I'll
bet that if our listeners will just Google Book Expo America, that they can find out specifically when the event is, exactly hours of operation, mm-hmm. and probably there will be a listing of what authors will be there and what times those authors would be available. That's usually the way they handle events like this. How exciting for you, Dennis.
I'm very excited, Suzanne. I really am. I'm really excited. It's just, it's going to be, I'm pretty sure it's on a Saturday, so hopefully, you know, people, if they're working, you know, whether they have that day off. So it should be very exciting for me. I look forward to it.
If our listeners are interested, and they should be by now, in getting a copy of Jericho Walls, I went to Amazon. And Amazon, I think they have everything in the universe on Amazon, but I took the title of the book, which is Jericho Walls, and I'm going to spell Jericho.
I'm sorry. It's actually Jericho's Walls.
It's Jericho's, I'm sorry, with that apostrophe S.
Yeah.
It's J-E-R-I-C-H-O apostrophe S, Walls, W-A-L-L-S, by Dennis, D-E-N-I-S, Gray, G-R-A-Y. Your mother did what?
My mother was reading a French novel. That's why
I love it. And so she named you Dennis with one N instead of two?
I always, and invariably, wherever I am, not this is an important document, I'll say, with one N, and I'll put the two in. So it's really
interesting. Wow. I get it completely. Mm-hmm. They can put Jericho's Walls by Dennis Gray in that book search feature that Amazon has at the top, and just click on that, and here's your book. And there's a little excerpt, there's a nice description of the book, and then there's an excerpt of the book, and so they can find out a little bit more about it there. Where else might they find the book, Dennis?
Well, there's Barnes & Noble, and there's Google. And there, I think.
Does Litfire have it on there?
I was going to say Litfire. Mm-hmm. Litfire. That's litfirepublishing.com. Mm-hmm.
Now, how about social media, Dennis? Are you doing any social media? Are you doing Twitter, or is there a Facebook page for the book? Anything like that?
I'm on Facebook, but I don't have a page. I don't have a page for the book. And also, I'm on Instagram. I
Good.
Just like to do designs, kind of artistic designs I put on there, but I am on Instagram. I love that. Instagram is terrific. Mm-hmm.
Now, I think you're going to have a website. Is that right?
Yes, that's under construction. Mm-hmm.
Good. Do you have any idea when that'll be up?
I would think in the next, I'm guessing, month and a half.
Dennis, is there a message that you meant for the reader to take away from this book, or did you just mean to entertain them with a really interesting, gritty crime novel?
I think what I'm after in a lot of my books is to just challenge the reader to think, could you do this in this particular situation, or what would you do? That's what I like to deal with. What would you do, or what could you do this that the protagonist did in resolving a problem?
Any final thought for the listener?
I just love writing, and I hope people will enjoy my reading, Suzanne. I'm reading my work, I'm sorry. I enjoy writing, and I hope people will enjoy reading my book.
I think it's obvious that you have such an excitement and enthusiasm for the craft. Dennis, thank you so much for talking with me today. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Well, thank you, Suzanne. You've been an absolutely great hostess.
Well, you're kind, and I hope that our listeners will join us for the next Book on Air. And until then, buy a book, read a book, share a book. Thank you so much for listening.